I'm Justina, the pastor at the Salvation Army here in Portage la Prairie. If you were to ask people to describe the good life, what do you think they would say? Maybe it would be about money and things, having enough money and a house and an awesome car. Some might say it's about the people in your life, a family that loves you, good friends, and a cute puppy. Some might say it's about doing the right things, making wise choices, taking care of the world and those less fortunate. Some might say it's the freedom to pursue your passions and do the things that you enjoy. For some, it might be a great vacation on a tropical beach instead of the cold here. Or maybe some people might not even be able to grasp the good life or imagine it, since their life feels so far from good. We're going to be starting a series on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, full disclosure, my thoughts are mixed with many people's ideas that I have read and heard, especially most recently, the Bible Project and Rich Villadus. If you want to dive deeper into these passages, I would suggest either one. Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12 say this. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word translated blessed here is the word ashrei in Hebrew. Now, I remember as a teen when the speaker would start to talk about what the word meant in Greek or Hebrew, that usually meant boring stuff was coming. Hopefully you can stick with me on this and that I don't bore you. While blessed is an okay translation, it doesn't give the full picture of what the word means. When we think blessed, we think of God's blessing. We think of God blessing something, making it holy, performing an action. But ashrei is more like how fortunate, how happy, or the good life. How fortunate are those who are poor and realize their need for him? What? How fortunate are those who are poor? Being poor is the good life? Sure not what I think most people would say. But this is where God's upside-down teaching comes in. The word poor or poor in spirit is used and could mean poor in a physical sense and poor in a spiritual sense. Either way, we need to realize our need and dependence on God to say, "I can't do this on my own." Rich Villadus, in his book, The Narrow Path, says this, "Christianity was more than a crutch for the weak. It's a wheelchair, a gurney. It's a hospital. Better yet, it's a hearse. Christianity doesn't say you have to limp and therefore offers a crutch. It announces we are dead and in dire need of a power outside ourselves to bring us to life. That's what it means to be poor in spirit." The next verse says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." The good life for most of us would be a life without problems. But again, we see this upside down thinking that the good life means mourning. It's not about pushing our feelings down to our toes and trying to move past it like most of us do. It's about being authentic, realizing our pain and the pain of those around us, and bringing that grief to God. If we don't feel and experience the pain, we can't fully feel the joy. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Now, what does the word meek mean? In this passage, the word means the marginalized, the outcasts, the unimportant people according to our social status. They will inherit the land. This is probably something most outsiders wouldn't have. Land, property ownership, this is a big deal. Once again, Jesus reverses life as we know it. The marginalized and outcasts have special status in his kingdom. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. To be in a constant state of hunger for me doesn't equate to the good life. Jesus says the good life is for people who are lacking something. They are missing something, they need something, and it's annoying, it's irritating. But what are they needing or lacking? Righteousness. Righteousness is being in right relationship with God. Kind of like when your best friend is mad at you and you can't think about anything else until that relationship is fixed. Hungering for righteousness is like not being able to do anything until your relationship with God is fixed. Those that realize to the point of annoyance that they are lacking right relationship with God will be filled. Kind of like that feeling on a hot summer day after working in the yard when you come in and get a big cold glass of water. Satisfied, filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Words we might think of for mercy are love, kindness, forgiving, but this is even stronger. It's the way you would treat your family, the ones you like, going above and beyond, being generous with what you have, forgiving even when it hurts. And in turn, God shows us this kind of loving generosity, extravagant forgiveness. God is the Father who runs after his child and forgives him again and again. We are called to love others like family, just as God loves us like family. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We have been talking about the outside things we should do, like how we act, how we treat others. But this one looks at our heart, our motivations. Does the inside match the outside? We are all good at faking it, pretending we are okay with things even when we aren't. A pure heart is about our character. In Psalm 51, David asks for God to create in him a clean heart. This is just after he has murdered and committed adultery. He recognized that his inside, his motivations, didn't connect. How do we become pure in heart? Is this even possible? God says it is. We need to focus on God, listen to him, repent and change what he tells us to. Cut out the sin that rots our heart. Be real with ourselves about our motivations. He will help us be pure in heart if we're willing to listen and follow him. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Peacemaking is about making right relationships with our neighbors and communities, and it isn't always a peaceful thing. Peacekeeping is something very different. It's when you avoid conflict to try to keep the peace, but it usually backfires later and instead causes resentment and chaos. Like when your friend does something that really annoys you, but instead of telling them, you just push the emotions down and suck it up. But the feelings don't go away. And instead of helping the relationship, things start to fester and eventually blow. Peacemaking is going into the arena of conflict. It's introducing the ethic of Jesus as a resource that's available. It's not naturally found. Peace is something that has to be made. And we have to be in community to do it. You can't make peace if you're not willing to get involved and get out there. How do we do it? I think the next few weeks as we look at the Sermon on the Mount will give us some good parameters. And then it says they will be called the children of God. His children are the ones who reflect him and his character. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if you are going to get involved in conflict, be ready for people to not like you. People don't like being called to a new way of living, one that means they have to do things differently. differently than they have always, different from what they believe is right. And Jesus knows this kind of persecution personally. All right, last one. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Notice the first eight are blessed are those, but this one is different. Blessed are you, plural. The good life is for y'all. He goes on to explain what the persecution looks like. People will insult you, mistreat you, tell lies about you. No matter how good your motivations and how kind you are, doing all the right things, expect persecution. And your reward is in heaven. Investing in heaven, the new creation, the new world, when things are made right, when the kingdom fully comes. The good life means reward. Reward to come. And also reward now in our Christian communities who are following and living the Jesus way. We can rejoice and be glad because we know Jesus defeated evil and a new life is to come. So what does this all mean for us today? How are you treating others? What does your relationship with God look like? What are your motivations? Are you willing to stand up for others, even if it means being persecuted? Take some time this week to take stock of your life and be open to listening to that still small voice. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for these words for us, for showing us what the good life really looks like. Thank you for giving us practical examples from your own life. God, we ask for help. So many of these things are backwards to what our society tells us, and therefore really hard to do. But we know with your help, we can move forward. First of all, we ask for right relationship with you. Make us desire that with our whole being, and then help us to be open to listening and following you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talks about the narrow and broad path. We think of it as the narrow path leads to heaven and the broad path, well, to the other place, hell. We think the narrow path means we need to go to church lots every week and never mess up, be religious fanatics. And the broad road is way more fun and we get options. Good people equals narrow path, bad people equals broad path. But this isn't what Jesus had in mind here. Yes, what we do today impacts our future and our eternity, but Jesus also wants to impact our now. The broad path is outside of the Jesus way, but the narrow path is a life committed to following Jesus. But how can you be sure which path you're on? Different Christians seem to believe and do things differently. I think we can use these few passages in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, to help us discover what path we're on and how to continue to walk down the narrow road, knowing Jesus himself is walking with us and others are cheering us on. Have a great week.